The first of our readings is from Psalm 33, and that's on page 560 of the Church Bibles. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And then we're in the New Testament in 1 Peter, which is on page 1217 of the Church Bibles. So 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then over the page in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Psalm 33 that we've heard read and that David has already introduced. It's a very good morning from me to all. Let's, with God's word open, pray together. Psalm 33, page 560. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you that we've already been reminded as we've read this psalm that your word is right and true and that you are faithful in all that you do. Thank you that we can have confidence now as we study your word, as we hear your word. Thank you that it is right and true. Thank you that you are faithful in all that you do. So please reassure us this morning of your love. Please move us on, we pray. Please challenge us where we need to be challenged. Thank you that your plans stand firm forever. Please bring us into line with your great plan and purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ wants every single one of us to be secure in his unfailing love. And he wants every single one of us to be sure of his unfailing love. What a wonderful thing to proclaim this morning. How reassuring that is in an uncertain and insecure world. What a challenge that is where we put our trust in the wrong things, even though they are good gifts of the good and gracious God. We've just come out of 18 months, haven't we, of pandemic. We're still not out of it. I don't know if you saw the story in the paper this morning or yesterday of the 15-year-old girl who was due to get her vaccine this week. She caught COVID, I think, on Friday. Thursday died 24 hours later. See, the pandemic has shown that we're not really in control. Okay, we have our vaccines and our boosters, our masks. But though most of us will survive this virus, we might not survive the next. And let me tell you that the World Health Organization have a list of unpleasant viruses that might at any moment break forth. And of course, it's all totally unrealistic on one level because we're all going to die. Maybe we feel insecure and need reassurance as we think about our own death. Maybe we think that as we've lost a loved one. Maybe we feel insecure and need reassurance because our plans have been changed. Maybe we need reassurance about our work. Maybe we feel insecure financially with increased taxes and rising inflation. I've been the last 2 days, Friday and yesterday, at a trustees meeting. The trust of which I'm a trustee looks after a theological college and a Christian school. And it was dominated really by how precarious things are, how uncertain, how unclear. Threats to their very existence from secular forces, from financial pressures, from religious forces who don't want clear biblical Christianity. Very easy to feel insecure. Maybe we feel insecure when we look at the great challenges that face humanity. Militant Islam, or environmental issues. So every day, every week, we need to hear the word of God, because only God speaking in his word can bring us true security and assurance as we hear his word, see what he has promised, and see what he has done and is doing through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say one other thing. We need God's word to remind us that our greatest problem is not the next virus or financial insecurity, but a far more lethal and widespread virus, and that virus is our sin. Every person in this world is a sinner who's turned away from God. And whereas we ought to find our value and meaning and purpose in God, the God who made us, we don't give him his rightful place. And we worship false gods. So we make those good gifts of the Creator God the ultimate things. And we try to find our meaning and purpose and value in those things, our safety, our security. Maybe it's our job, our family, our possessions, our good looks, our abilities. fascinating, isn't it, that as our life gets busy again, maybe busy at work, busy in the family, busy in retirement, it's easy, isn't it, to lose perspective in the midst of the busyness. We even do that. That even happens if you work in a church. We become filled with people and projects, with work and wish lists, with homes and holidays, and we struggle to distinguish what really matters, and we lose ourselves, don't we? So our greatest problem is not actually the next virus, but the truth that God will judge every sinner, and we will all die. And we will all face God's judgment. But this morning, we look at a psalm of great joy. Just look at the opening verses, would you? This psalm will remind us that God has a great plan for all who fear Him, who trust Him, and who hope in Him. So look down to verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. The God and Father of Jesus wants every sinner who turns to Him and trusts His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be secure in His unfailing love, to be sure of His unfailing love. And in that, we can know deep joy, joy that no unbeliever can know. You see, Psalm 33 begins with a call for joyful praise. Rejoice in the Lord, I've put on the outline, verses 1 to 3. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. In the Bible, the righteous are those who trust the Lord and so are declared to be in a right relationship with the Lord. And the righteous are to praise the Lord. And look, verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. John, you didn't have a 10-string lyre this morning, but we had a good variety of instruments. Sing to Him, verse 3, a new song. Play skillfully. And shout for joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise Him in music with a whole variety of instruments. And look, with shouts. If anybody here this morning wants to shout, praise the Lord, please do so. I know it's not the kind of thing we do at Trinity, but if anybody wants to, you go for it. And singing there a new song does not mean that we have to write a brand new song, but of course it means sing again with praise and joy because we've been reminded of who the Lord is. Why should the Lord's people rejoice in Him? Well, because firstly of what the Lord says and does, verses 4 and 5. We might say His word and His work, what He says and what He does. Verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. Of course, this is about the word of the Lord, capital letters, Yahweh, who makes a covenant with His Old Testament people. A covenant is God speaking and making promises. So think about it. Right at the start of the Bible, God made a promise to Abraham. He promised to make him a great nation, to give him a land, and to bring blessing to all peoples from all nations through him. And that is God's great plan to be worked out through history and time. So God wants to reverse the effects of our sin and rebellion, that spoil this world and leave us alienated from God and facing his judgment. He wants people to be right with him and to know his blessing and to be secure in his unfailing love. And the Lord was faithful to those promises to Abraham. He grew a people, but they were enslaved in Egypt. But God acted. He's faithful in all he does. He freed them from slavery, and he brings them to the promised land. There's a lot of Old Testament history put into just a few sentences. You see, the Lord is faithful to his promises, and he shows himself to be the God of righteousness and justice. He always acts rightly and justly, not least in judging sin and rebellion against him. So in every way, God shows that his word can be trusted. That's why we have his word open in front of us now. That's why we want our hearts and minds to be full of his word every day through this coming week. And we rejoice because of what the Lord says and does ruling his creation. Look from verse 6 onward. Look at the Lord's power in creating his world by his word. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. The one true God just breathed out his word and the heavens were made. If you know the size of this universe we're in, and more, this is a very, very powerful God. And a very powerful word. And this God controls the seas and oceans. In Jewish thinking, rough seas were a sign of a chaotic and rebellious and sinful and disordered world. But look at verse 7. He gathers the waters of the seas into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Just think of a jam jar at home in your kitchen. Think of the great oceans. This Lord is so powerful in ruling his creation that he can just gather them all up into a jar. And no wonder the call is to all the earth, to every single person here this morning and beyond, the Lord rules his creation. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Do you want to be secure and sure in an uncertain and disordered world? Then know the Lord who created and controls all things by his powerful word. Now, we need, of course, to read this psalm wearing our Christian spectacles. That's what I often like to say about reading all of the Old Testament. We read it through our Christian spectacles. We read this fulfilled in the coming of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. That's part of the promise of the Old Testament. Sorry, not part of, that is the promise of the Old Testament, that the Lord would send his King, his Son. And how much more it means to us this side of the coming of Jesus. I put down Hebrews 1 on the outline, the beginning of Hebrews, written to Jewish Christians who are in danger of giving up on the Lord Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So if you want to be secure in God's love and sure in his love, know this Jesus. He's God's word who comes to tell us what God is like. He's the supreme Lord who's raised to life and who now reigns at the right hand of God. And he sustains right now all things by his powerful word. Let me ask us all this morning, do we honour and respect this Jesus? Do we give him his rightful place? Do we fear this Jesus? Let me just do something with you. Let's be silent for a moment and just listen to our breathing. According to this psalm, according to Hebrews 1, the Lord Jesus sustains our breathing. When he decides by his will and word to stop our breathing, he will do that. Now, I don't say that to frighten us, but to cause us to respect and honor the Lord Jesus with the reverence and awe that he should have. And the Lord Jesus has a great plan for us. As we'll see, he wants us to be secure in his love and to be sure of his unfailing love forever, and to put your trust and hope anywhere else is a complete mistake and utterly foolish. And you see, as we come back to the psalm, his command is over rebellious, sinful plans and rebellious, sinful peoples. This was a great reassurance to my fellow trustees as we talked. I shared them with this psalm because I was about to preach on it. Look at verse 10. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. It may look in the West as if God is forgotten and mocked. Indeed, that is so. But Western secular humanist thinking will not prevail, though it might look strong at the moment. Militant Islam will not prevail. Communist one-party states will not prevail. No sinner who goes his or her own way and ignores the Lord will prevail. Verse 11, the only plans that will stand firm forever are the Lord's. But the plans of the Lord will stand forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. What is the supreme plan of the Lord? What is the supreme plan of the Lord? Well, thirdly, rejoice because of what the Lord sees and does to love and save his chosen people. Look at verse 12 onwards. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. The Lord has a particular love for his chosen people. Now, the Lord sees all people. Look what the psalm says next, verse 13. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Do you notice the all, four times all or everything? I was on the concourse at London Euston at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and everywhere were cameras. It was quite extraordinary. I counted 25 cameras. All the movements of every person were being filmed. The Lord sees and knows everything that happens in all the world. But the contrast is with verse 12, isn't it? With verse 18 that I've already read out. His eyes are particularly for his people, the people he has chosen and he loves. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. To be a member of the people of God is to be particularly blessed and loved, to be watched and cared for and protected. It's the loving eye of the parent. You know that they're in the creche. You can see all that's happening, but they've got a particular eye for their child. And just to make sure that his people don't miss this, look what he reminds them of. How foolish to trust anybody else or anything else, as Dave's already done with his illustration. No king is saved by the size of his army, verse 16. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. See, no position can save you. You might be a king or have power, but that won't save you. Just reminding us, isn't it, that no government or technology can save us. Very striking, isn't it, in our age at the moment, where it seems that we expect the government to do everything, to sort out everything. You might have power and strength of some sort, but that won't save you. You might have possessions, but they won't save you. And what a reminder that is, because so often we do want to make the good gifts of God the ultimate things that we're living for. Put your trust in anything else and anybody else, and you'll be ultimately disappointed. Put your hope in anything and anybody, and you'll be disappointed. Did you see that story of that little holiday home on the island with the volcano? And there was a little picture of all the lava going around the holiday home. It was as if kind of he was holding out hope. Didn't quite know what the Danish man who owned that holiday home was going to make of it when he arrived to find lava spread out all of miles around. And then, of course, about a week later, that too was gone. Only the Lord can save you and give you the true security that every single sinner needs. He sees and loves and saves his chosen people. Look again at those verses. Verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. Think of those verses from Hebrews 1 that I read. In the Lord Jesus, we have God's word. The Lord Jesus speaks and makes wonderful promises to sinners like us. And this Jesus has done his great work. He came to die for sinners, to purify us, to cleanse us. He took our sins upon himself. He took the judgment for our sins upon himself. That is God's great love for sinners like us. And he raised this Jesus from death, and he now reigns at his right-hand side. And look what happens when you trust this Jesus. I put down those verses from 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 says that all Christians gathered from all different nations, Jew, Gentile, whatever nation of the world, all people in fulfillment of that great promise to Abraham. Verse 9, Peter writes, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. How should we respond? Well, I've already said one thing. We should fear the Lord Jesus. The Lord's eyes are particularly on his chosen people who fear him. That is, those who honor him, who give him their lives. Only the Lord can deliver the believer from death and take him through death. And he does save us through difficult times. This psalm talks about keeping them alive in famine. Have we thanked God for keeping us alive through a virus, personally? Only the Lord can save sinners like us. Of course we should fall down before him and honour him with all of our lives. Fear the Lord Jesus. Verses 20 to 22 say, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Fear the Lord Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus. We trust in his holy name. There is no other name by which sinful men and women can be saved and reconciled to God and adopted into his family. And in the present, he is our help and shield, our protection. God wants us to be secure in his unfailing love and sure of his unfailing love. Secure and sure that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we're to hope in the Lord Jesus. We wait in hope. God does not free us from all the chaos and difficulties of life in a sinful and rebellious and chaotic world, but he does want us to be secure and sure in the face of death. So we hope in the Lord Jesus. One day he will bring about a new heaven and a new earth for those who trust and hope in his Son. It's very serious, isn't it? But we're to rejoice. Who's going to shout something? Thank you very much. Thank you. And we're to sing, and we're to shout, and to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in all the uncertainty and insecurity of a sinful and rebellious and disordered world, we can be secure in and sure of your unfailing love to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that at this very moment, your Son, reigning at your right-hand side, sustains all things in this universe by his powerful word. And yet every single one of us who trusts him is precious to him. His eyes are on each one of us. As we come to his table now, signs to reassure us, bread reminding us of his broken body, wine of blood shed in sacrifice for our sins. Please reassure us again of your love for sinners like us. Help us to come fearing the Lord Jesus, acknowledging our sin, bowing down before him, ready to trust him and to hope in him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.